Thank you. This will actually be a tag team. Elizabeth will be presenting this, and Don will be watching on the sidelines. It's only fitting that we have Elizabeth help out. She actually works in both programs. She actually does most of the work, and she prepared the slides, and she brought all the material here, and so we'll trade off. Talk a little bit about the Centers of Excellence, and this time we're going to talk a little bit about where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And if you remember this is actually the fourth year of the Centers of Excellence, and when it first started, basically we had to con states into applying for to become a center of integrated food safety center of excellence because even though FSMA had passed and there was a $24 million authorization for supporting FSMA at CDC, there was no funding. So we had to encourage people to apply with potential promise of funding for a five-year grant that had no funding initially, but it was only going to have one chance to apply. So actually 14 states sent a letter of intent and 11 applied. And then through a competitive process, they were selected. So again, this is the legislation, the Food Safety Modernization Act, that talked about the centers of excellence. And I couldn't have done this. So you push a button, and this shows the key language about the integrated food safety centers of excellence. And they were to serve as resources for federal, state, and local public health professionals. And this has become increasingly important because it's hard for CDC staff to get funding to go out to states as much as in the past. And also, other states have, you're on the front lines, you have a better idea of what other states might need. And a key provision of this was that the Centers of Excellence were supposed to provide assistance to other states. So they're already considered to be Centers of Excellence, so they didn't have to help themselves as much as helping others. But we realized that they had to pilot test a lot of activities first in their own state before they could take it to others. So the first competitive process in five states, how many people here from the Centers of Excellence are probably part of the audience? Yes, so we've got at least Oregon and Florida and in the audience, and Minnesota and as well. Colorado, sorry. Okay, great. Anybody else going once? The five states were started, and Dr. Frieden gave a small amount of money, $1 million or $200,000 each. Most integrated food centers of excellence, CDCs, start at least at $500,000 and average about $1 million, so this is a lot less than other sites have. There were six main activity areas. Basically to strengthen surveillance, to analyze reporting so that there's more timeliness and effectiveness of responses, training current public health professionals in the field, educating future food safety workforce through an academic partner, and improve information systems and evaluate and communicate best practices. So to help facilitate this, the five centers set up five work groups where a lot of the work was done, and each center took a lead for a particular work group, one being on academic to look at courses, certificate programs, and activities such as field placements, another one in terms of coordinating production of information and distribution of that and publicity around it, one developing projects around data aggregation and surveillance, one on metrics in terms of what we've heard some around the 16 C4 metrics and measuring that, and then one on training, managing all the training activities that were being developed online. And so after this shows the number of online products in that first year right after they had started, and as you can see there wasn't a lot. Now to talk of where we are, switch over to Elizabeth.
All right, so quickly I'll cover some of the big program changes that have happened in the last couple of years. So if you've seen a COE presentation more than a year ago, these might be new to you. In 2015, we expanded to get a new center in the Northeast. And the reason for this was because there was a large uncovered population in this part of the country that was far from the existing COEs. The closest would have been either Minnesota or Tennessee, and people in either of those states will tell you they're probably not going to consider themselves Northeast states. And the legislation also allowed us to expand on a regional basis. So we put out a competitive application in the 2015 ELC application for all the Northeast states. New York was chosen as the Northeast Regional Center of Excellence. And this center is unique from the others because it has a very strong regional emphasis. They aren't going to go through this alone. This is a strong region. There are 3 food net sites, 2 food core sites, and 4 outbreak and enhanced sites, which was a program that started at the same time. And 8 of the 11 sites in this states in this region are funded above the per capita average. So it's a very strong region when it comes to food safety resources. And they wanted to pull on that. They set up a learning collaborative, which pulls in state officials from all of the different states in the region with the idea that no one is in charge of the model practices that are developed. Everyone has things to contribute and has expertise. And so even though New York has the title as the Center of Excellence, they're all in it together. So this is the map after adding New York. And I don't know if anyone from New York is in the room. Dale. And he was not part of choosing New York. He'll say that every time we talk about it. He was not part of that process. The other big change that we had in 2015 was we set up geographic regions. So here we have a map, and you can find where you are and figure out who your regional center of excellence is. And we set up these regions to serve as navigators between the states in their region and the resources and services that the centers of excellence offer. So if you're in a state and you know that a COE has a product or there's a service that you want but you don't know who offers it or if it even exists, you can go and talk to your Center of Excellence, and all the contact information is on our CDC website, and they'll either help you through it or tell you who might be better suited to help you with it. And we wanted to make sure that these regions were helpful rather than inhibited any natural relationships that might happen. So if people have existing professional relationships with someone at one of the COEs and it's not in their region, of course you can still go and call that person and talk to them. And some of the centers have a little bit more of a niche expertise, and so you can also go directly to a state if you know that they're really good at something, or you can go through your regional center and they might redirect you to a different center just because they know that someone else has a little bit more expertise in a particular area. So they're really there to help you figure out what the COEs have to offer rather than trying to get in the way and making it harder for you to get to COE resources. Another change that happened in 2015 was the development of Outbreak and Enhanced, which was a program I talked about just a few seconds ago. This program started in August 2015 to improve foodborne disease program capacity at state health departments. These are the 11 sites that were funded in 2015, and the program is continuing to grow. And I talk about the Outbreak and Enhanced program because one of the things that these states are required to do is to identify and implement a program and project with the Centers of Excellence. So as being part of Outbreak and Enhance, they are required to work with the COEs, which is really a great way since that's what the COEs are there for, is to help other states. And the Outbreak and Enhance sites are given this money to get their systems improved. So it's really a natural area for collaboration. Some of the projects that the Centers of Excellence and the Food Court, or the Outbreak and Enhance Centers have worked on are listed here. Two of the most common ones are interview training and setting up student teams. Just mention that the COEs create a lot of online products, like Dale showed you. They didn't have any in 2012, but that is one of the big things that they do. So this is what they offer and what is available. They cover a wide variety of things, and this is just kind of a very high-level list of what there is, but it doesn't get into really the breadth of what exists. So again, contact a regional COE to learn more about any of these. And here is everything that is online as of June 9th. So there are 93 products, clearly more than the 0 that there were in 2012, and continuing to grow at a rapid rate. And this coefoodsafetytools.org is where you can find all of those products. If you want to learn more about COE products as they become available, you can follow the Twitter page at Food Safety COE, or read our quarterly newsletter, which is on the CDC website and also goes out through the Foodborne Outbreaks listserv if you get that. And if you don't, come find me and I will make sure those get emailed to you every quarter. All right, I'll pass it back over to Dale to talk more about the future.
Actually, where we're going will be also fleshed out at the vision meeting once a year, and the next one is in November, so group process. So, but some of the future directions and projects, there's going to be expansion of mentorship activities because the there's going to be expansion of Outbreak Net to 7 more sites in the current year, and the plan is to use the antimicrobial resistance funding to help create other centers. The initial outbreak antimicrobial resistance funding went to the labs to build, to buy sequencers in every state, and now some of that funding in future years will be shifted to add more Outbreak Net enhanced sites, each which will be pairing with a center of excellence. We've also started realizing that even though we've been able to increase the funding from $1 million to about $2.7 million in base funding, that the only way we were going to get a lot and increased funding was to try to look for other areas, other programs that would help fund centers of excellence. So, for example, this year the antimicrobial resistance program is funding some activities to do needs assessments and provide online training for veterinarians on antimicrobial resistance. Attribution is providing some funding for looking at ways of developing better tools to look at salmonella and other organisms in terms of their contribution. And AMD, or Advanced Microbial Detection, is going to provide some funding as well for whole genome sequence training for epidemiologists. Future work group priorities, one is the work WGS training for EPIs. We're just starting to look at a research agenda, hopefully additional funding for that, and then trying to continue to integrate activities. A number of centers of excellence are working on the same projects, such as complaint systems, as an example. So, not directly related to the COEs, but indirectly related, CDC has continued to increase its food safety programs, summarized in this slide. When I first came to CDC 5 years ago, the actual funding that I thought was going out to states was about $8 million through the Food Safety Office, and then started realizing that other programs at CDC were providing funding to states. This coming year, there's going to be a significant increase. It was $34 million last year. It's going up to $48 million. You wonder where the math doesn't quite add up. With $14 million new for antimicrobial resistance going out and $2 million new through ELC food programs. $2 million was taken away from this because there was $2 million that was passed out from through CDC for through FDA funded for the food retail food study, and that's now FDA is funding that directly. So the significant parts of the slide are that only about $21 million of this $48 million comes from the food safety program. So there's emerging infections, prevent block, the Prevention and Public Health Fund, the National Center for Environmental Health, emerging infections, National Center for Environmental Health, all these put out additional funding to states. And we've tried to start collect and collate that together in one chart. $5 million goes to FoodNet. As I mentioned, $17 million goes through the core ELC programs. $14 million is being added to that, so it's $31 million. But there's an additional $5 million that goes out to states through the ELC through the Prevention Public Health Fund and the AMD funding. And then NCH has EHSNet sites, and there's about $2 million that goes out to partners. We haven't calculated the per state funding for fiscal year 16 yet, but in 2015, of the $34 million that was distributed, it went to 50 states, 5 cities in the District of Columbia, and 3 territories. The average award was $643,000 per state, with a range of $34,000 to $36 million. Programs that were funded, CDC until then had been funding through 17 program lines, and of those, 14 are through the ELC grant. So we're trying to work to coordinate, better coordinate those now that a larger amount of funding is going out to the states. We've hired some public health reps. Traditionally, our center has had basically technical expertise and knowledge, and we've actually recruited some people that with public health rep experience that have run programs to come and help try to coordinate this. The average number of programs funded per state is 7, with a range of 2 to 15, and the average per capita award is 10 cents. So a dime per citizen in the United States is all that's funded. The range from 2 cents to 74 cents, so there's some inequality here in terms of funding. The states with more premier programs, like FoodNet, Center of Excellence, or FoodCare, average 16 to 22 cents per site on a univariate analysis, or a 26 cents if you combine for all three. And 36 states get about 7 cents, so that's below an average of 7 cents for those 36 states, which is below the average of 10 cents. The good news is that the increased funding for fiscal year 16 will increase the average significantly. We're estimating the average will go up to about $950,000 per state as a result of that. So then just a question, how many people flew Delta coming here? So quite a few people. Have you noticed the change? I mean, it used to be you could fly Delta and you either get coach or you get business, and you usually didn't get business unless you worked for private industry. Have you noticed they've snuck in additional classes now? They have economy comfort, which they added, and now they've added a fourth group, which is they call basic, which is really middle seat, back of the plane, no changing. So they have four classes of surface offered. And so what we've sort of did is look at this and sort of said, how can we organize states in how you might fly? And the basic is the basic low level of funding. It's for example, OutbreakNet, I think the average is like 60,000, and PulseNet's average about 80,000. And very basic service, and not even enough to hire one person in most states. And 28 are still in this category. Maybe you could say that's even standby because you don't have a full ticket for a full person. And then coach is the OutbreakNet Enhanced. There's 11 sites. The number here is 8 because 3 of those are in higher tiers. They've found a way to get an upgrade. Economy Comfort, there's 10, and that's if you have 1 or 2 of the Food Corps, FoodNet, or Center of Excellence, and only 5 are in Premier. And what we're hoping to do is to leverage the expertise of the Centers of Excellence and to help the other states to achieve higher levels of status. And with the coming year, with the funding, 8 more are going to move into the OutbreakNet Enhanced. That's very exciting. And the plan is to use the antimicrobial resistance money to bring everybody, basically, or most everybody, up to at least outbreak to a coach and not just on standby. So, and then everybody will be above average. So, thank you. With that, we'll open up to any questions.
Thanks, Dale. Questions for Dale?
Or for the group. Originally, we were supposed to have all the centers present and show some of their products. We did that last year in a roundtable, but realized there was not enough time to do that. So welcome any questions of the group.
Or just comments on the whole COE thing. I mean, we're constantly wanting to get feedback on what we can do to kind of support all of our partners. So if anybody has comments or if you're too shy and just want to tell somebody one-on-one, that's fine. We always want to hear from you. I mean, I know some COEs said that they can go to your site and help you fill out the metrics that Don talked about, the 16 into that CMAT tool. We can come help facilitate the C4 toolkit trainings and, you know, anything and everything that we've said or that we haven't said, you think it up and somebody will try to help.
Help during outbreaks, too. That's an issue.
Right.
If you want to pass something by somebody, a friend in a COE, that's completely good. You want to fly there and talk to them there. Sometimes they can fly and bug you guys at your place if you want them to. So it's they're being funded. It's the only CDC program that is funded to help other people. Specifically, money is supposed to really go out of state for other folks. So take advantage of it.
Are there any OutbreakNet enhanced states or sites here? You know, a couple. So you've had experience working with the Center of Excellence. Any questions about with somebody in the back, either Florida or Oregon, I guess.
Florida.
Okay. Yes. So you must be from Georgia. Yes. Okay. Great. See, so there are testimonials. There are people that have done this successfully, and there will be 7 new OutbreakNet Enhanced. So if you applied, there's an opportunity to join that group. And if you haven't, this is a good time to think ahead of for next year. It's one opportunity to get additional funding. And the chances would be pretty good because I think there were only 9 applicants or 9 or 10 applicants for 7 funding slots this year. So that only leaves 3 returning people for another 8 to 10 sites for next year. So talk to a center of excellence. Have them help you with the application, plan on what type of project you might want to do, and hopefully you'll be successful. Thanks.
All right, see you, Dale.